I am ecstatic and elated to bring to the pulpit the Reverend Willie Hurd. Many of you have heard of Reverend Hurd because of his prolific ministry. He is a prolific preacher of God's word. He's a prolific teacher of God's word, but he's also a prolific gifted musician of God's word. Amen. He has the gift to translate into song, both musically as well in producing CDs and DVDs that really speak to the awesomeness of God's word. He is the author and producer of 3 CDs now. The third is out, is that right? And we praise God for the many, many musical gifts. He is a native of Corpus Christi, Texas. So like our preacher at 8 o'clock from Beaumont, Beaumont and Corpus Christi, they're not too far apart. He is a graduate of the College of New Rochelle with a degree in psychology. Then God had him matriculate at Princeton Theological Seminary, where he earned a Master's of Divinity. And then went on from there to earn another Master's, what we call a Master's of Theology, that would have then set him up to do some doctor work. And I still believe that's going to happen in God's time. Amen. His focus in his THM was on pastoral life and congregational care. He has a heart for pastors. He knows how to preach the word. He knows how to speak the word to individuals who are leaders of congregations. And so we bless the Lord. He is related to Reverend Dr. LaRue. Is that right? First cousin to Reverend Dr. Cleo LaRue. Some of y'all didn't know that. And so we are in good territory, good preaching territory. With this preacher, the Reverend Willie Hurd. He is married to an awesome woman of God. Beautiful family. I'm going to leave him introduce his family. He is the head of music, director of music at the Cane Avenue Baptist Church in Camden, New Jersey. So I bring none other than my friend, my brother in Christ, our baccalaureate preacher for today, the Reverend Willie Hurd. Let's extend our right hand and say, Lord, bless me through Reverend Hurd. In the name of Jesus, amen. Give God a praise offering. The next voice you're going to hear will be that of the Reverend Willie Hurd.
Jesus, you are the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're the heart of my contentment. Surely you're the hope for everything I do, I do, I do, I do. Yeah, Jesus, surely you're the center of my joy. Now when I've lost my direction, you're the compass for my way. You are the guiding light whenever my nights are dark and cold. In chance, you're the laughter, Lord, that scatters all my fears. And when I'm all alone, your hand is there to hold. Yeah. Then you are why I find pleasure in the simple things in life. Lord, 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 you are the music in the meadow, and even in the stream. And I even hear you in the voices, my two little children, my family and my home. Lord, you are the source and the author and the finisher of my highest dream. Jesus, you're the center of my joy, all my joy and all that's good and perfect comes from you. Oh, yes, you see, you're the heart, Lord, my more contentment, you're the hope for all that I do. Jesus,
yeah,
you are the center of my joy. Oh, Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Oh, Jesus, you are the center of my joy. You see, late in the midnight hour, my body is racking with pain. I'm not going to worry, Lord. I'm going to call on your name. You see, I love you, Lord, and I praise your holy name. Each and every day, Lord, your name is the same. But you're not on the left. Smack dab in the middle of my life. You're the center in my trouble. You're the center in my trial. You're the center in my problem. You're the center on the mountain. You're the center in the valley. You're the center in the morning, in the new day, in the year, even in the midnight hour. The center of my joy, Jesus, you're the center of my joy, joy, my joy, my joy. Come on, somebody that's got joy today. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on, somebody's got joy for your sorrow and hope for tomorrow. Anybody know that Jesus is the center of your joy? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. My God, my God, my God. Well, Reverend, I usually don't sing before I preach, but I needed to get that out of the way. Somebody would say to me, how did you come to Shiloh and didn't sing? Well, Reverend said he would have said it. What a blessing it is today to stand in this historic holy house of worship. A place that has led the way in the cause of Christ through evangelism, through discipleship, but also through the fight for the causes of social justice and socio-political equity. It's a signal honor of my ministry to stand in this place today. This is my third time here today, Reverend. The first time I was here, there was a Christmas concert going on. And folks were so excited that the church was packed, and I stood out in the narthex and was blessed by the music that came inside. I never made it in the sanctuary. And then I was here a few months ago for the funeral of Brother Davis, to share with his family, and so this is the first time that I come to share a word with you today. And so again, I'm honored and I'm blessed, and I thank this young pastor for this invitation and this opportunity to come and share with the Shiloh family. But I want to particularly take this opportunity to thank him for his example.
Amen.
As a man of God, as a leader of God's people, and especially in the face of so many problems that plague the pulpit, a man of integrity.
Right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Show your pastor some love. And just a little side note, I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago and telling them that I might be here at the Shiloh Church, and the fella retorted, "Well, if anybody's got his feet on the ground, it's Daryl Armstrong."
That's right. Hallelujah.
Amen. Right. Amen. And then I'm thankful for this choir today. I had heard of the Shiloh Choir. I'd not heard the choir except for that one Christmas, but I'd not heard them throw down like this today. Thank you, Sister Betty. What a blessing to see you. Y'all have blessed my soul today. And then there are so many faces that I see that are familiar, and I'm not going to call any names. I would miss somebody, but the faces that represent so many relationships and so many stories and so much love for my life and for my family. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank all of you who have prayed for me and prayed for my ministry, and to bear witness to the fact that your prayers have availed much. God has blessed me and working miracles in my life, and the best is yet to come. And then I want to say congratulations to all of these graduates on whatever respective level of academic achievement you have attained. You serve as participants and witnesses in a process and a function of life that reminds us that life is a dynamic reality, that continuous cycle of learning and growing, a quest for discovery and diverse experiences. And finally, a sojourn towards self-actualization and determination under the auspices of divine grace and divine guidance. In other words, God has given you the desire and the liberty and the power to pursue experiences of wisdom and knowledge as we develop and grow, no matter what your station or status in this life. And a wise old saint once told me, when you stop learning, you stop living. My encouragement to you is keep on reaching for the prize. Keep on living and keep on learning. It's beautiful to see you standing here. I work as Minister of Worship and Liturgy and Family Life at the Cane Avenue Church. And as many of you know, Camden is in a difficult, difficult time. And it's manifested in the grades and the accomplishments of our young people. And so pray for your counterparts in Camden. As they struggle for academic success. But also to see so many young men, so many young brothers with hoods on. Amen. You are our future, and so our prayers are with you, and our words of encouragement are with you. Well, the question might arise for some of you, I have completed this leg of my academic journey. What's next? For some of you, the answer is clear and the next phase is set. However, for some of you, the future is not so clear. Will I go any further in my academic pursuits? What will my major academic focus be at the next level? What will my vocation be? What if I change my mind about where I want to go and what I want to do? And for some of you youngsters, the question might be, do I follow my parents' wishes or do I follow my own dreams? And of course, that answer, I have a daughter at Rider University, may depend on whether or not those who are paying for school or borrowing for your education will allow you that freedom of choice. But in the Lord, we have freedom of choice. Amen. Nevertheless, for those of you in all these categorical queries, I offer a practical but wise word of encouragement for those of you who celebrate this academic accomplishment, and for others who traverse the sojourn towards the next leg of your academic journey, or for those of you who are just growing in your faith journey. It is a formula that I want to share with you today that I implore for my own life and share with those to whom I give counsel. I want to talk to you today about the three O's. The three O's. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you for the power and presence of your Holy Spirit in this place, through the word sung, through testimony, through celebration, through prayer. And then, God, a most special blessing for these on the academic sojourn that you have brought to a level of accomplishment. We realize, God, that the accomplishment does not stop here, but you are a moving, dynamic, powerful spirit. Move in the lives of these young people. Move in the lives of these who desire further academic training. Open doors, God. Give energy, give strength and determination. Now, Lord, it's preaching time, and you said that your word would not return void, but that it would accomplish that thing that it was set forth to do. And so we trust now in this next little while that through the power of your precious Holy Spirit, that you would indeed make your word a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. That it would not return void, but that it was accomplished that thing that it is set forth to do. God, send forth your word. Bless preacher. Bless people. And we'll give your name the praise forevermore, even in advance, for what we just know and believe you shall do. It's by Christ Jesus that we ask these things. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Three O's. Three O's. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. But coming behind Toby Sanders, who is a prophet and a scholar and as well as a priest, he was at our church yesterday doing a series called The Heart of a Man. I said, now, Pastor Toby, I have to come after you now. Leave somebody alive. But I'm a practical preacher. I try to keep it real and I try to keep it simple that you might remember the word of God. And so this simple message, the three O's, you might call it the three O's stratagem, or the three O's discipline, or the three O's wisdom. Or you just might call it three O's: optimism, opportunity, and omnipotence. Optimism, opportunity, and omnipotence. It is my assertion, it is my belief, it is my practice that employing these three O's prepares me for and prepares us for and propels us towards the realization of divine destiny. I hope that it will be an encouragement to your life and in your journey. I know this is a baccalaureate service, and I suppose this should be a baccalaureate address of sorts, but I'm a preacher, so let me take you to one of the texts that inspires and informs this three O's wisdom. For those of you who have your Bibles, would you turn to the second chapter of Philippians? Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 12, and I'm reading from the NIV translation. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. As you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing, but even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so that you too might be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul, in his missive to the church at Philippi, admonishes and instructs the Christians with these words in chapter 2. And the focal verse there is number 13, says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure." As we peruse the text, let's consider this optimism piece. I don't want you to mistake the idea of optimism as merely as a positive thinking technique, as Norman Vincent Peale espouses in his book, The Power of Positive Thinking. I would rather submit to you the idea of a sort of anointed attitudinal adjustment. Yeah. When I talk about optimism, I'm talking about an anointed attitudinal adjustment. The Old Testament proverb suggests that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And then the New Testament scriptures declares that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, what your heart is full of is ultimately what's going to come out in your thoughts and your words. What is your heart full of today? Well, that's another sermon for another time. Paul's reminder, his encouragement to these Philippian Christians, and I would submit that it is a relevant revelation for Christians today, is that the Lord, in essence, imparts his will in us and through us towards the work and divine purpose he has created for us to fulfill. Let me say that again. The scripture tells us that the Lord, in essence, imparts his will in us and through us towards the work and divine purpose he has created us to fulfill. That implies that through divine guidance and inspiration and illumination, God prepares our hearts and our minds and even our bodies to desire to carry out his will. Why that sounds like something that's very simple and clear cut, it's not always that simple a reality. For sometimes God's will is not patently clear. And so we have to wait patiently in faith until he departs in divine instruction. Sometimes that has to do with him getting us ready for the next assignment. At times God's answer is yes, but not yet. Sometimes that has to do with God preparing a due season in which we shall reap if we faint not. And then there are times when the answer is direct, but it leads us, Pastor, into an unfamiliar or uncomfortable territory. These challenging learning experiences test our faith, and they lead us towards Christian maturity. Then there is a book by Kirk Byron Jones called Holy Play, which suggests that God is at work in us and through us in our dreams and aspirations, our earnest desires, as a divine partner in actualizing and developing a sense of purpose and vocation. Those things that we've always wanted to be, we've always dreamt about being in actuality, he suggests in his thesis, is God placing those desires in us according to his will. All these realities as it concerns our sense of purpose and direction require that we employ a sort of holy optimism, if you will. And why do I need this holy optimism, preacher? Because there is a temptation, especially in the work of the church, in the work of Christ, towards being weary in well-doing.
All right.
One can experience a frustration in waiting on the Lord for direction, or a vexation in treading through a difficult assignment, even a fixation with transitioning to the next leg of the journey. And then there are situations in life that can blindside us and baffle us and threaten to shake the very foundation of our faith. But what invariably fuels and informs this spirit of holy optimism, this anointed attitudinal posture, is the reality that God is at work in us. Whether leading us or inspiring us or even taking us kicking and screaming, Sister Morella, he prepares us and compels us to do his will and his good pleasure. Paul tells the Christians at Philippi there in verse 14, do everything without murmuring and disputing, without complaining or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God without a fault in a wicked and perverse generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Another translation says, in which you shine like lights in the world. Yeah. Paul admonishes the Christian community to support each other in a spirit of unity, even in the face of persecutors and occupiers. They were under Roman rule. This admonition undergirds the idea of the second O, opportunity. Now, the opportunity of which I speak is not necessarily the opportunity to acquire financial gain, though it is a part of the process. This opportunity is one that is marked by growth in one's personal journey, as well as one's place and participation in the Christian community and the greater community. I'll use the word growth as an acronym to explain what I mean. The G in growth stands, of course, for growth. And when I talk about growth or anything in life, I speak from a holistic approach. Not just the spiritual man. Of course, we come to church Sunday after Sunday that the inner man, the inner woman might be strengthened. But sometimes we forget about what goes on in the psyche. And we've been duped into thinking that if I can just shout enough, everything that's wrong with my mind will dissipate. But God, my mentor and pastor and father in ministry, Dr. William Augustus Jones, used to tell us that Christ was concerned with the totality of the human condition, that Christ was concerned with the whole human. So that growth then not only occurs in my spiritual walk, but it also occurs in my psychological health. My emphasis in seminary, the second master's, was pastoral care and counseling, pastoral theology. And Pastor, I'm still fighting with preachers who don't believe that counseling is necessary. You don't need to go to a doctor. You don't need a pill. But I believe that God moves through a pill sometimes until the Spirit can get us to the place where we need to be. When I talk about growth, I talk about the growth of our social relationships. I'm working on a book called Angels in Our Midst, and it is based on the scripture that says, be careful how you entertain strangers, for you might entertain angels unawares. I'm assuming, Brother Pastor, not necessarily with any erudite or scholarly support, but that God sends humans in angelic assignment, with words of encouragement, with words of wisdom, with words of love. Somebody might say one thing to you and never see them again, and you never forget that pearl of wisdom for the rest of your life. God might send people along your journey to walk with you all of your life, or just for a short time of your life. And so I also believe that God sends angels, if we're to be careful about entertaining strangers, in human form with angelic assignment. And so the thesis of the book is to count on, look for, particularly in difficult times, those angels that God has sent into your path to be an encouragement with you, for you. But also as we mature and grow, we realize you really can make the journey with a lot less people than we thought. Yeah. Another premise of the watch out for toxic angels. Yeah, they mean well sometimes and they want to do well, but they've not gotten to a place of healthy growth where they won't pull you down in your struggle. So as we grow in the Lord, we grow spiritually, we grow psychologically, we grow even in our sociological environment. We grow in the management of our finances. We grow even in our physical body. Many of you know that I was heavier than I am now. Many of you did not know, Brother Darrell, that when I graduated in 2005, I was 588 pounds. No blood pressure, no heart problems, no diabetes, only a trick knee from football. God spared me. As I went through and worked on two masters, my wife still goes to Manhattan every day, and I had the children in the house, and I didn't have time to really take care of my health. But once seminary was over, my wife said, baby, you're going to the gym. And it took me a few months to get acclimated, but I had done it before and I knew what I had to do. And so I told Sister Morella, as I sat in the chair here, I said, this day, a year ago, I was 105 pounds heavier. I wouldn't have been able to fit in that chair. And then to date, I've lost 215 pounds with the help of the Lord. I'm not ashamed, I'm not embarrassed, because I realize that the Lord spared my life because he had a greater work for me to do. But the key for me in my own spiritual growth, my own psychosocial growth, was to love myself and learn to love me at 588. Learn to love me at what I thought was the worst part of my life. And then when I began to love myself, I began to understand how God works in our growth in so many areas of our lives to prepare us for what it is that he has for us to do. Amen. Let me move on. The second letter in this acronym, growth, is R. It stands for resources. As we talked about these angels in our midst, trust and know that wherever you go from here, to college, to another city, to trade school, to jobs, that God has people in place, even before you get there, that will provide resources for you to get to the next level, will provide resources for you to carry out the next matter that God has in your life. No man is an island. No man stands alone. Okay. Don't be tempted into thinking, I'm in a new place. Nobody knows. Nobody understands me. Nobody really cares. The enemy will speak to you. Trust and know that God has resources, people that know what you need to know, people that have what you need, people that have been through what you're going to go through, that will help you in your sojourn. I remembered Pastor Armstrong as I was pursuing my second master's degree. There had been some economic problems at the seminary, and so they were cutting back. And so we were forced to leave the married student apartments. My wife was working for Verizon and was trying to buy a house, and that deal fell through, thank God, because we didn't realize there were some serious issues with that house. But consequently, I spent that fall semester in a shelter. I just passed 709 Pennington Avenue, where we stayed in a shelter supplied by Homefront for 4 months. And in that time, God sent people to help us in our situation. God sent some members of the church that we were working with, some of them are here today, that let us stay in their brand new house until they were ready to move in. God sent people from the same church that were over Homefront that got us a place, a roof over our head. And then as Reverend talked about these volumes, Songs from the Sanctuary, Hymns, Spirituals, and Classic Gospels, that first one was produced while we were in the shelter with resources from a member of the church where we worked. Come on. And the great blessing is she wouldn't even let us pay her back when we got things together and got on our feet. God, even in what we thought was the worst situation, had people in our path with resources to help us. And then that letter O stands for outsourcing. We've seen the controversy of people sending folks to other countries to work for cheaper labor. But in this instance, outsourcing for me means not only do we take in the resources of other people, but we also share our resources. Amen. We outsource our skills, our abilities, our encouragement, our wisdom, our knowledge, our victories with other people. Yeah, you can't just pull in. You've got to be able to share, amen? It's a sense of reciprocity. We give and take, and that's what the kingdom community is all about. Sharing our skills and our abilities and our gifts with others in a sense of community. And then that W stands for witness. Paul says in this text that when you do what you do according to the will of God, you stand as a star in the universe. I'm not talking about one of those bling bling type stars. I got it going on. I'm talking about the light of the Lord that shines in you that is different from anybody else that you know. Not from some braggadocious standpoint, but for the Lord to be shining through you means somebody may walk up and ask to you just graduated from high school and you didn't have a daddy in the house with you. And I'm dealing with kids in Camden whose moms are still addicted to crack cocaine. But those kids keep showing up to the church. Amen. Because they see a light in some of us. They see God's love in some of us. And so we have the opportunity and the challenge to bear the light of God's witness. Yeah, particularly that those times of struggle. There's a scripture in Revelation that I walk with that talks about how the devil fell from heaven with great wrath. And the question was asked, well, how did they overcome the devil's wrath? And the retort was, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And that simply means that what Jesus did on Calvary covers everything. But then when we share with other people our struggles and our overcoming, it inspires them to overcome as well. I tell you, as I'm talking about opportunities and talking about growth, that W stands for witness. And then the T stands for taking advantage of or targeting particular vision and opportunities to realize our own professional and entrepreneurial endeavors. My company is Heard Song Productions. My last name is Heard. And it was just a slogan on a piece of paper, a title on a piece of paper 10 years ago. And now it is an actual company. It was a dream, and I would encourage you to dare to dream. I would also encourage you, as I'm encouraging my children, to get an idea for something that somebody needs, some product that's your company. Whether it's online or set up your own store, God is working in you, not just to get your degrees, not just to have a 9-to-5, but to also have your own goals and your own dreams. And I'm very proud today because a dear friend of mine, is in the congregation. He said, don't tell Brother Darrell that I'm coming. I'm going to sneak in. On Tuesday, my wife and I celebrate 25 years of marriage. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. Yeah, she was very, very young when we got married, Pastor. A dear friend of mine had a restaurant in Harlem, and my wife was taking me to a special restaurant down in Atlantic City. I'd never been. And she said, I'm not going to tell you where we're going. I'll just let you know it's a soul food restaurant. And as I was almost there, I saw this big sign, Redding's. I said, I know that dude. That's Carl Redding. She said, I tried to keep it a secret. That's where we're going. Carl Redding sits with us today. God bless your heart. He had a wonderful spot in Harlem called Amy Ruth's, and now has an even more wonderful spot down in Atlantic City called Redding's, with soul food. And I hadn't had a chance to talk to him, but I wanted to ask him, how did you move from Harlem all the way down to Atlantic City? But the greater question is, how did you move from success to greater success? Because that becomes a model for us. And again, I would encourage you to listen to the Lord for whatever vision he may give you for your own business that you might be able to do as Brother Carl has done, as I've been able to do. And then finally, that H in growth stands for, straight from the scripture, that you may hold on to the word of life to sustain you. It gets difficult sometimes, no matter how many degrees you had. I had a master's degree from one of the top seminaries in the world, but was living in a shelter. Yeah, the enemy tried to attack my mind. What kind of man are you that you would let your family end up in a situation like this? But when we look back, we realize that it was the Lord. Because right at the end of that part of our lives, some of our sisters, and they're here today, found a house on a Monday. And on a Wednesday, we were looking at it. On a Friday, we were signing papers. And the address on that house as we moved out of the shelter was 7, which is completion in the Bible. And the young couple that we bought it for said, man, I had just gotten this house exactly the way I wanted it, and suddenly my job moved us. We didn't realize, as we held on to our faith and held on to the word of God and God's promise, that God had us in this place so he could prepare this blessing for us to move in due season. Hold on, my brothers and my sisters, to the word of God. There is an old axiom that asserts that the notion of opportunity knocks but once. There are some who indeed languish in what they consider missed opportunities that will never return. And what contradicts this erroneous, ill-informed ideology in the kingdom scheme of things is that God, the giver of every good and perfect gift, the opener of doors, the maker of ways, through his grace and provision, consistently and faithfully creates opportunities for us to grow, to thrive, to create, to collaborate, to inspire, and to initiate his holy will. Uh-huh. How do you know, preacher? Well, I just finished up volume 3, as Pastor was saying. I got to go to India last year with Dr. LaRue and Dr. Tell over the music department. And they've invited me to come back again this year in October with Dr. Peter Paris. And Dr. Prasadam, who is our sponsor, and his wife came to Princeton to have a meal with us and work out some of the details. And I gave them a copy of volume 3. I only had a few made for a special concert. And his wife sent an email and said, what a precious gift you have given us. I know many Indian Christians who would love to have these volumes. Can we get it at Amazon? And the devil said, look at you. You ain't done your business. You haven't gotten all the royalties paid for. You haven't approached Amazon. You missed that opportunity. And I got a job offer, Reverend, when I was in India. The district superintendent for the Assemblies of God in northern, western, eastern, and central India said, but why don't you come and do our worship and do our administrations? I have 100 million Pentecostals in my district, 186 churches in my district. And the devil said, look at you. You missed that opportunity. But what I love about the Lord is you always get another chance.
Yeah.
God, no matter how you miss it, how you might blow it, always provides another chance. God in his mercy and God in his grace always opens another door. Yeah, even when we fail and miss it and even completely blow it, he blesses us with the vigor and renewed vision to pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off and start all over again on a new endeavor, on another chance at the same endeavor. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Because failure then can spawn a greater faith-filled focus. Victims of life's vicissitudes can become vanquishers and victorious in whatever lot they find themselves in. What seems to be devastating defeat can become a definitive declaration of deliverance. Yes. Obstacles and outrageous outcomes can turn into outstanding opportunities yes. of overcoming power. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Then I'm almost through. You can say amen again. Finally, the third O. Talked about a holy optimism and opportunities sent by God to grow in so many facets of our life. The final O is omnipotence. In this final O, you actually get three for the price of one. For the God whom we know to be omnipotent, that is all powerful, is also omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at the same time, in our blessings and in our mess. Amen. And then he's omniscient, which means he knows everything there is to know about everything. Jesus Christ is the Logos, the mind of God, the intellect of God, the divine order of God. He is also Emmanuel, which means he is God with us. And then through the power and presence of the Paraclete, the precious Holy Ghost. The Pope says, Espiritus Sanctus. God is living inside us and working on us and working through us. Yeah. We have somebody on our side who is working his will out in us. Somebody shout glory.
Glory.
Graduates, you have completed this chapter of your academic journey. You have passed the tests of this leg of your Christian sojourn, but the journey is not through. The story is not over. You will go on to write the next chapter. What I love about the Lord is that you don't have to write the story by yourself. You have a co-writer. We've studied from a book by Steve Harvey, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. He took his thoughts and took his thoughts to a writer, and the writer sat down and actually co-wrote the book with him. And this is not just any co-writer, co-author, as other people have. The one who creates the story with us is the one that we know as the author and the finisher of our faith. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what God has in store for your life or even for my life. But I do know that we don't have to worry because we're never alone.
Never.
The songwriter said, I believe it was one of the Hawkins, never alone. I don't have to worry because I'm never alone. He walks beside me every day. He guides my footsteps all the way. You're never alone. And that gives me a sense of holy optimism. Then the hymn writer said, many things about tomorrow I just don't seem to understand. But I know who holds my future and I know who holds my hand. That lets me know that my life, my calling, my vocation, my purpose, my opportunities, my future are all in the Master's plan. He's omnipotent, I tell you. He's omnipresent, I tell you. He's omniscient, I tell you. So not only am I singing, oh, 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 what he's done for me. I never shall forget what he's done for me. But I can also sing in the songwriter's words that say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of love. Born in his spirit, I've been washed in his blood. I don't know about you today, but this is my story. Yeah, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I don't care how many degrees you get. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care what business you might start. All the glory goes to God. Everything I have, everything I am, everything I'm not, belongs to God. I don't have to worry about it because the forecast is favorable. It might look grim in my community. It might look dim in the church. It might look like all hell is breaking loose. But I know somebody who's got all power in heaven and in earth. Not only that, he's on my side. Yeah, he's on your side. He's on your side. Preparing the way. Every mountain shall be made low, and every valley shall be exalted. I'm not worried about it. God is in control. Anybody know it? Say yeah. Yes. Yeah. He will open
and my sisters, I challenge you. I encourage you. Go forth in your walk with these three O's. Optimism. Opportunities are available if you avail yourself. And then omnipotence is on your side. Don't worry about what they say. You know, she didn't graduate in 4 years, so what? It took me 25 years to go back and finish up my bachelor's. 4 more years to get 2 master's degrees. It's taken my wife 20 years to get through her bachelor's degree and get work on her master's degree. But she has 1 internship left, and she'll have a master's degree. Amen. Remember that you are a light that shines in somebody else's life just by the fact that you made it. My daddy had an 8th grade education, but he had books by Sigmund Freud, and he had books about Greek, and he had books on Hebrew, and he had books on literature. And so he tried to grow himself. He tried to improve himself. And so now my baby sister's daughter will be a doctor. She will have a doctorate in psychology. My daughter is a junior at Rider University majoring in psychology. My son is at Ewing High School as a junior and is a math whiz. God, through our light and through our example, has shown other folks in our community that you can make it. You can make it. If you fall, if you fail, get up. Reach out to somebody. God's got somebody waiting to help you. And then when you are helped, turn around and help somebody else. God bless you today. God bless you today.